Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get after it tonight here. Saw Jake Asman on his way out. BK, I'm sad that BK's going. We got a lot to talk about here tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. We're going to put a bow on the U.S. Women's National Team stuff. And we're going to put some things in real context for people. Because what happens is people grab one little item, stick to it. But we're going to really take a deeper dive on where accountability lies. And it lies in a lot of places. It's never one place. So for all those that have the knives sharpened simply for the head coach, there's something really interesting about Vlatko Andonovski I'm going to tell you about here tonight. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. We're streaming at ESPN975.com, as usual. The great Andrew Carlson producing. I stopped into the wonderful Little Patagonia empanadas. So grab some empanadas. Got a nice double espresso. So I got to make sure I don't speak in tongues here tonight. All right, Andrew, so keep me in check.
I'll make sure you're not too fast, Glenn.
If I'm not easy to understand, you might have to cut in, all right? And you have full freedom to do that. All right, so 713-780-ESPN. I would like to hear from you tonight. I really want to hear people weighing in on the U.S. Women's National Team. I want you to weigh in on the Dynamo. I was so sad the Dynamo had that collapse, which was about a 45-second collapse, that cost them an opportunity to play Inter-Miami in Miami. Well, technically in Fort Lauderdale at the old Lockhart Stadium where I played before they refurbished it. So that was sad because that's a missed opportunity. That was going out to the world against Messi and Inter-Miami. And the eyeballs that would have been on you would have been spectacular. And we've seen, you know, how Messi not only is lifting Inter-Miami, but he's lifting every opponent, because every single guy in a locker room may be going, this may be my one and only time to ever grace the field with Lionel Messi, who 7 months ago, lifted the World Cup trophy. So you see it brings the best out in people. And there's some really subtle, cool things around what he does when it comes to people reacting in and around him. By the way, my niece, obviously her husband, Derek Jeter, they were at the game. They were invited by the Beckhams. I sent a text to my niece. I said, so what do you think of this guy Messi? And she goes, well, he's better than everybody else on the field. And I was kind of like, well, no, Hannah, because my niece's name is Hannah. But I thought it was fun. I was glad she was there. It looked like she enjoyed it. So anyway, that's funny stuff. I don't know if you saw that, but I saw that. All right, Premier League begins. Arsenal's going to be on Andrew Carlson's mind. So our guest tonight, John Arnold, the striker. John does a great job of covering the CONCACAF. And he has a podcast about CONCACAF, but he does a great job. He's also writing for the League's Cup. He wrote a wonderful article on our connection to Monterrey, Mexico here. And the two brands, Monterrey, which is Rayados, and Tigres. There's a tremendous history with these two teams in this city, not only at the professional level, at youth levels and youth competitions, and There's so many people here from Monterey. Every weekend when they play, they drive and invest, go over the border to watch these two teams play, Rayados and Tigres. Well, when they come to play here in the League's Cup, we knew it was a guaranteed sellout. There's already a friendly match that has been set up for October. They'll come back again. They have real interest in connecting with the Monterey, quote-unquote, connection here in Houston, the supporters of both of those teams. You know, they have accounts in English now. They're reaching out. And look, this is competition for the Houston Dynamo. This is competition. It does not make it easy. And they come into your stadium and they sell it out. This is the passion. Jaime Frias is a former youth player in Houston, went on to play in college, went on to be an under-20 assistant U.S. youth national team coach on the women's side, became a head coach at the under-18 side, coached in a variety of colleges. He is now the U of H women's head coach, Cougar Nation. You got a local running your team. They're actually in action tonight. This is an interview we did this morning. So Jaime's going to be on the show. Eric Goodman, Verde Report, Austin Chronicle. Okay. I bring Eric on and John Arnold because these are young, talented guys. Like I like using my show as a platform to push forward the work that some of these really good young guys are doing. So Eric's coming on. We're going to talk everything Austin FC. Their new sporting director, Andrew Carlson, Borrello, comes in and immediately gets deep down honest with the public in a press conference and said, look, last year was overachievement. He even used the word kind of lucky, okay? And, you know, positions, you know, lowers kind of the bar, and we got to rebuild things, which then makes you think about Sebastian Driussi. Does he want to be a part of a rebuild? And then you look at the standings and you go, but wait a minute, they're in fifth place in the Western Conference. They're going to make the playoffs likely, and they can go on a run in this thing. So, you know, it's all very ambivalent, and you wonder how much about that whole side of it he knows. But I really appreciated his honesty coming in, getting out in front as a sporting director and communicating with the fan base, because I think that's important.
No, it absolutely is important. But Glenn, there's a piece of me, and maybe this is the pessimist in me, that wonders when a sporting director comes in and immediately looks to lower the expectations a little bit, if there's a sense of, hey, I don't want to set the bar too high because I'm afraid that the team that I currently have can't meet that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a fair thing to say. Now, this is a guy that was the assistant coach to Pep Guardiola. He's been at Barcelona. He's been, I believe, at Liverpool as well. So a lot there to think about. And you almost wonder in MLS, which is always really, you know, we are a league. Look, we're the most sensitive soccer nation on the planet. I'm sorry, when it comes to press and all this stuff. We are. We're weenies. I mean, come on. The intensity and the scrutiny is nowhere near to what happens in other places around the world. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. And we have worked, you know, MLS, the national team, and this is a part of the problem why the women crashed out. And we're going to get into this in a second. But we're not tough enough. We're babies when somebody asks a decent question that can easily be turned into a positive platform. I don't get it. I'm sad for that. I don't think that grows the game. But I think other people think that, you know, very much controlling the narrative each and every day is part and parcel for it. And maybe that's the way it works. Look, if you're selling out in certain places, you can point to it. But I don't think it's engaging. Now, maybe I'm talking tactics here and nobody cares on this show if I'm talking tactics or some of the deeper things in the sport of soccer. And maybe I should just keep it, hey, who's better, Ronaldo or Messi? I don't know. Honestly, I sometimes wonder where I should be, but I kind of follow my heart because it is my show and I'm allowed to do that. But I do think it's a lot about the low hanging fruit now. All right. So, let us talk about the U.S. women's national team tonight. And there's a few things I want to say. First of all, for context, I'm looking forward positively to seeing the U.S. women's national team turn this around. I think this is really healthy that they have been eliminated. I do think U.S. soccer is accountable also. Now, you see the knives out for Vlatko Andonovsky. You see a lot of writers going after, he didn't substitute right, he didn't put players in the right places. Tactics were wrong. No question. That's a piece of it. There is no question. If you want to look micro and simply at the tournament, okay? If you want to go back and put this all in context, who chose Vlatko Andonovsky to be the coach? The players were given the opportunity basically to pick the coach by U.S. soccer, okay? So when you want to slam Andonovsky, you need to write that and put that in your article. That's number one. How do you think Andonovsky deals with the group of players that have basically endorsed him for the job? Do you not think that now changes the relationship that he has with the group of people and the way he maybe talks to them, pushes them? You bet your bottom dollar it does. So whoever becomes the next coach, it needs somebody with a firm hand, and it needs to be somebody that can guide young people, which leads me to Megan Rapinoe. Okay, everybody's, oh, you can't pin it on her. I'm going to tell you why I pin some of it on her and maybe another older player as well. You brought politics into the national team. Big mistake. The entire country loved the women's national team. You had the entire country in the palm of your hands. Elderly people loved the women. My parents in their 70s and in their 80s, my mom used to say, I love Abby Wambach, you know. We love these women, right? You blew it. And U.S. soccer's got a hand in that, too, for not protecting the integrity of the program. Okay? I don't mind what people's politics and what they stand for. Don't bring it into sports. So that made soccer secondary the last 2.5 to 3 years to me. I don't think any question. So when Carly Lloyd gets upset, she's upset because she doesn't see the core values carried on, which were originated by those that came before her. So she's looking to the people that before her set the tone, coaches, players, Lily, Ham, Akers, on and on we can go. I mean, I almost feel embarrassed. I'd be naming people all day here, right? I'd be naming people Overbeck, Sauerbrunn. Everybody carried these wonderful core values forward, and that is what people identified with, okay? So you let politics enter the fray, and this became a very outwardly pretentious, maybe only a few people, but to the world, it was a pretentious, arrogant group. Okay? Listen to this quote from a player on the Netherlands. Her name is Lynette Berenstain. This just came out. This has been hot, and there's a lot of people agreeing on this. And let me tell you something else. People are coming to me saying, what happened to the U.S. women's national team? Why is there this attitude? It doesn't have to be political. We're talking soccer, okay? To be arrogant is dangerous in soccer because it becomes a motivator for the opponent and those that are competing against you. So here's the Netherlands, Lynette Berenstain, which, by the way, the Netherlands and Spain, 8 o'clock. That's a can't-miss FIFA Women's World Cup. So she says, quote, from the start of the tournament, they had really big mouths. And already we're talking about the final. Don't start to talk about something that is so far away. I hope that they will learn from that. That's pretty interesting. And these types of things are coming from a variety of areas. So you say to yourself, how do you get to that point, right? How do you get there? You allowed this infection to get into the core values of the women's national team. Now, you combine that with many years ago, watching the world catch up in soccer. We all knew that the great soccer-playing nations, if they wanted to get into this women's soccer gig, once they did, it would accelerate because of their culture, because of the primary sport in their country, because of the way they play the game in Spain and the Netherlands and Argentina and Colombia. By the way, Colombia in the last 8 from South America probably has no resources. So it's no surprise that the U.S. were eliminated. And frankly, to me, it's the best thing that could have happened. Very similar to what I said after the U.S. did not qualify. Best thing that could happen. We can now move on some of these older players. We can get the focus and attention on a bunch of young guys who want to make their mark. And the same thing can now happen with big opportunity for the women's national team. They played poorly, okay? You can cry all you want about penalty kicks. That was their best game, and they still couldn't score a goal. I don't think Alex Morgan had a goal in the tournament, right? You knew there was trouble. You knew there was trouble if you're looking micro. So, yeah, you can bash on the coach all you want, but this thing is rooted a couple years back. And if you're not thinking like that, you aren't in context, and you're just a spectator. And a spectator to me is now identified as someone who's just a cheerleader and accepts everything and anything. And we got a lot of those with the women's national team. That's okay. You're supporters. But you also have to hear the truth, I think, and factor that in when you talk about this team. So if you want a knife and break out the knives and blame it all on Andonovsky, you're wrong. Okay? You're wrong. When Alex Morgan joined the women's national team, she changed the face of it with the way she played the game. Okay? It's time for her to move on. It's time for Rapinoe to move on. And to be fair, she wasn't there on merit. She can't get past anybody. She's not there on merit. She became a dancing teenager and showed no signs as a 38-year-old of any of passing on the core values and torch that she must have gotten from other players in the past. She didn't mentor. She didn't lead. She didn't guide by acting like that. The youth on this World Cup squad, no chance. And but honestly, the dancing and silliness is freaking obnoxious. Seriously, it's obnoxious. And it's so disrespectful to the game, your teammates, and everything else. So the last 3 years, women lost the focus. Soccer was secondary. Here's the good news. The elimination early. By the way, the first time the team has never made it to the semis, the best thing that could happen. And now we do a deep dive, top to bottom, on leadership at U.S. Soccer, player development, everything going on with the women's game in this country. Opportunity beckons. Could be a great thing. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN, 97.5. Brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
You never know what you're going to get.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, so this was our first crack at talking about the U.S. Women's National Team here tonight on the radio. Obviously, I put some things out. Burning Topics, brought to you by Cactus Music. Sweden advancing past the U.S. in penalties. By the way, I was a big fan of Megan Rapinoe when her focus was on soccer and how well she played prior in her national team career. And there were others like Julie Ertz and Alyssa Nayer. This is probably it for them, and I'm probably missing a bunch. But it's going to get handed over to the younger players. And the next coaching choice and a deep dive and a fine-tooth comb look at everything around the women's game in this country needs to occur. And this is healthy, and this is opportunity. So we're going to cap this off now with some sound from Carly Lloyd.
Well, I think when I first got onto the team, there was just a level of respect for everybody there, for coaches, for other players, for support staff, you know, massages, trainers, doctors. And as the years have kind of gone by, it's little stuff, but it kind of amounts to big things and ultimately, you know, affects on the field. But, you know, if you've got a massage, let's say, for example, your name's signed up on a certain time, and you decide to not show up, and you decide to not text the massage therapist or tell them, hey, I'm running a few minutes late, and they're just sitting there, and they have to just sit there, and they have to kind of swallow that and not really say anything to the player that's done that. So there's just things like that. It's like, you know, trash around the field. It's throwing your warm-up and expecting the equipment guy. It's just there's a level of, I guess, not everybody, but there's a level of just kind of the entitlement of everybody's going to do everything for you and just not being respectful of others. And I think that that starts at the top, and that should be the coach, and that should be the leader, and then it should funnel on down to the players.
So there it is. I think it's pretty obvious to the outside world. This became a pretentious, arrogant group led by a few. And unfortunately, everybody gets painted with the same brush. And if you're a younger player on that team, you're not saying anything. Okay? So the core values were lost. So we'll move on from that. But, you know, I give Carly Lloyd a lot of credit. I think this is what we need. Let's get back to soccer with the U.S. Women's National Team as a priority. So just to remind everybody, Netherlands, Spain here tonight. And by the way, the last eight teams in the Women's World Cup is a testament to the diversity and the unknown, right? And the rise of a lot of other soccer countries. But they're here, okay? It's here. It is not going to be easy to win World Cups. Netherlands, Spain. Can the Dutch put it in overdrive here tonight? Spain's got a lot of talent. Very, you know, you watch the Spanish women and it's like watching the Spanish men's national teams. No different. Same culture. Can they make history? Aitana Bonmati, watch the feet on that woman. Dutch haven't conceded a goal in open play. Netherlands, that's my prediction. You, Andrew, who you got?
Let's go with Spain, Glenn. Just the way they pass the ball around, you mentioned it. Sometimes the men's team can lack a little cutting edge, but look, when you can possess the ball like they do, you're capable of suffocating a game, and I think that's something they can pull off tonight.
All right, Sweden, Japan. Japan, technique, passing, moving. They bridge the physical gap with the technical and tactical side of the game. So it's Swedish power against Japanese technique in simplistic terms. The Swedes will be vertical. If the Japanese cannot concede a lot of free kick, not concede a lot of corners, not put themselves in a situation where they got to defend set pieces, I'm going with Japan.
I agree with you. The technical quality they have is fantastic.
That's the bridge gapper. All right, Australia, France. Now, Australia is going to be powered by a massive crowd. The French have momentum. Sam Kerr can arrive back out of injury now, the big star for Australia. They're going to have the huge support. French have some next-level players, though. Kati Diani, Eugenia Le Sommer. The French are going to break Australian hearts, in my opinion.
Les Bleus are going to do it, Glenn?
Yes. That's my pick. Yours?
There's a new wave, Glenn, and I think France in the new wave of the women's game is almost at the forefront of that. So I'm with you on that one as well.
All right. England, Colombia. England's the clear favorites here. Some are saying they could win it all. South America's lone representative, Colombia, Linda Caicedo, the 18-year-old. Everybody knows her from that miraculous bending, swerving ball after creating a little like yard of space in the box against Germany. By the way, Germany didn't even get out of the group stages. How about that for the growth of the women's game? But I'm going to say, unfortunately for Colombia, it's the last dance tonight. England wins.
Yeah, Cinderella's story comes to an end at some point. And Colombia has been one of many incredible stories in this Women's World Cup where we've gotten to see that incredible growth of the game in all different parts of the world. But that being said, you mentioned England being favorites. That's for a very good reason. I agree with you that they advance.
So lousy morning on Sunday because people woke up and watched the women's national team get eliminated again. I'm going to say it again. Best thing that could happen to the U.S. Women's National Team program. That night, Inter Miami went to Frisco, Texas to take on FC Dallas. This ended 4-4, okay? This was a wild game, highly entertaining. It was packed. It had everything. Let's go to the opening goal from one Lionel Messi.
Robert Taylor leaving it for Jordi Alba. Back to Lionel Messi! Like clockwork! His sixth goal for Inter Miami, and it's another early lead!
Okay, so that's 1-0 there. So anyway, back and forth, a lot of great action. This Inter Miami would be down at 1.4-2, and Messi would lead a late surge. He had a part in every single goal and then hit his penalty in the penalties. But here's Messi again, his second, to make it 4-4.
Messi up over and in! Sensational from Lionel Messi again! 4-4!
FC Dallas coach Nico Estevez came out and he said, Messi taking free kicks is like a normal player taking penalties. I thought that was great.
Did you see that he moved the ball over as well, Glenn? I don't know if you've seen this video. So they didn't put the magic spray down around where he had initially had the ball placed. When the ref wasn't looking, He moved it probably at least a yard or so to the left to get a better angle for the free kick. It's messy. No one's going to stop him. No one's going to do anything about it. And then, of course, he puts it in the top corner.
Unbelievable. How effortless the guy is remarkable. The economy of his running, too, is crazy. 713-780-3776. Anything tonight? What do you want to say about the U.S. Women's National Team, Lionel Messi, and his jump into the League's Cup? That's going to delay his MLS action. So what we have in the League's Cup, I have it here somewhere. Okay, here are the matchups in the League's Cup. L.A. will play Monterrey. So we're down to the last eight teams. There's only two Mexican teams. There are six Major League Soccer teams. L.A., Monterrey. That'll be moved to the Rose Bowl. That's interesting. Minnesota, Nashville. Philadelphia Union, Querétaro. And then Inter-Miami, Charlotte. And again, that could have been the Dynamo. The Dynamo, we'll get into that in our next segment. We'll do some Dynamo talk. Gosh, I was just so hoping the Dynamo would get through there and end up getting their game against Lionel Messi. And, you know, because that would have been a great opportunity to engage mainstream media here in Houston around the Dynamo product, and the fact that they were going to be on the field with Lionel Messi. Let's go to Sergio Canales with Monterrey selling out Shell Energy Stadium and getting a 1-0 penalties, right? Over Tigres.
Prepara, apunta, juego, gol! De Rayados! Primer gol de Sergio Canales!
So that was a stoppage time penalty. People were not happy about that, especially with yellow jerseys on. Monterrey advancing, Tigres out. By the way, that derby, that rivalry game, comes back to Houston in October. But that was, from all intents and purposes, remarkable downtown, jerseys everywhere. And again, we spoke about the connection between Monterrey, Mexico, and Houston, Texas. And, of course, John Arnold, he will be talking about that a little bit later on the show. So we have some movement now here. Harry Kane to Bayern. The deal has been accepted by Spurs, Andrew. Premier League will kick off this weekend. Got to say, he gone, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think really the only thing that you could imagine would be holding him in England is the chance to go and grab the record for the all-time top scorer in the top English top flight. And I don't think that this move stops him from doing that. But you get to a point, especially you're Harry Kane, 30 years old in your career, where players are remembered by the trophies they have won, Glenn. And you know this as well as anyone else. And Harry Kane, for all his incredible individual accolades and individual success from a team standpoint, both with the national team and with Spurs, he has not achieved a single thing from a silverware won standpoint. And at some point in your career, you feel that urge to go and win things, and I think that's where he is right now, where he just has to go somewhere where he feels he has a very good chance, not just to win the Bundesliga, but to win the Champions League as well.
I think he fits the Bayern system well,
absolutely,
too, and he's a model professional. I root for guys like Harry Kane. I root for the Lionel Messis of the world who put the game first. I absolutely love that, so I'm hoping he does well. I mean, he hasn't officially accepted yet. We do know that. Chelsea nearing Tyler Adams. So Adams had the bad injury on a very tough team to play for, Leeds, who, you know, most of the time are playing from behind or, you know, really struggled to score goals. Tyler Adams stood out at Leeds to Chelsea. Any thoughts on that?
I'm a little worried about it just because I don't know what Chelsea is going to become. I understand that they are in a better spot than they were last season, but the mess that they were last season, Glenn, where you had too many players that they couldn't all sit in the changing room, and you had players like outside of the changing room putting on their cleats and changing their jerseys and stuff like that simply because you had too many bodies in your room, that to me speaks of a structure that was not clearly defined and like, frankly, I don't want to throw all the shade on Todd Boehly because I understand there are many more pieces to it than that.
Show a lot of it on him, though.
But, yeah, like, he did not know what he was doing, and he did not know what he was getting into. And so my only concern for Tyler Adams would be, is he going to be someone that gets lost in the mess that Chelsea became last season, or is Pochettino going to be able to clean things up to a point where he can be a key cog in that midfield for this upcoming season? Because they still have business to complete. They're looking to bring in Moises Caicedo from Brighton, and that's a midfield that is very much in need of someone like Tyler Adams. The question for me is going to be, is he going to be able to consistently get the opportunity to be on the field to show that?
Such a shame he got injured when he did, because he was beginning to add the element of hitting more penetrating passes and breaking lines. You could see it happening. It was a fabulous thing to watch. I would watch the Leeds game strictly to see that from Tyler Adams. And look, the conundrum of ownership, like, you know, the definition of an owner, you know, and what their characteristics are. Are they solely investors? Are they part investor, part passionate? That's probably the ideal, you know, or are they some egomaniac that's going to all of a sudden think they know soccer because they've been successful in business? I mean, you get all types, right? You get all types. And, you know, I just hope they're building something there. And if Tyler Adams is being brought in to be a big piece of it, love that kid. 100% soccer player. All right. We are going to come back. Is this, who is this we got here?
Heat Waves.
Ooh.
Glass Animals, Heat Waves.
Okay. This is kind of cool. This is different. I like it.
You've used this before, Glenn.
I think we have. I like the way it segued into this kind of chorus. Very cool. I've seen some great shows lately. Skinner, ZZ Top, Jesse Dayton, Samantha Fish, Ace Frehley. You know, this is a little, you know, everybody knows where my priority lies, but I love a lot of different music. I also listen to a lot of the chill and beach house, that kind of music. I love that in the morning. And old school blues, you name it, I listen. Reggae. All right. Reminder again. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to everybody listening in tonight. Spotify, Google, Apple, subscribe to the podcast. Reminder, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, 2775 Fondren, the best in modern contemporary furniture, bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping in Houston, danishinspirations.com. Stressless line over there. My house is full of the modern contemporary furniture. My dog likes it, too, by the way. lounging on some very nice furniture is all I can tell you. Our hearts go out to Jan, by the way. He lost his mother. He's over in Denmark now. So big thoughts to Jan and his son, Yannick, who runs Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. All right, we'll take a break. Let's talk some Dynamo. 713-780-3776 to call in.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night, man.
One is screaming, he's so happy. The other screaming, a passionate shout. It's the Night Man.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Dorsey driving it forward here. He's a one-man show. Final ball to Quinones near the end line. Gets across into the back post. A volley and a goal. Spectacular hit. Corey Baird crossing and finishing at its best. And it is 1-0 Houston Dynamo in the 10th minute.
And it was all good at that point. Come back with the Scorpions, by the way. 1-0 at that point. Dynamo looking good. For me, got a little too conservative after that goal. Had chances to get a second. Coco Karaskia had a wonderful chance. Second half, Aliou Ibrahim came on, had a great chance. Not even striking the ball clean. And this remains a problem for the Dynamo. And this is the big question. If they're going to get in the playoffs, they're going to have to be able to start scoring goals. I would say even more in the chance creation category. I've talked a lot about, I think, solving the problem of getting more width is a big piece. I will tell you, Griffin Dorsey, my man of the match and my man of the Leagues Cup for the Houston Dynamo. Great testament to being a hard worker. Great testament to working on his game. Great testament to being prepared and thinking as a first-team player for when your opportunity comes. And I will tell you, he looks more polished than he has in the past when he got the opportunity under Todd Ramos. Prior to that, at Toronto FC, didn't play. Okay, so this is a great story, and it needs to be spoken about here. I tried to get him on the show tonight. They're off. Couldn't get him on. Hoping to get him on in the future. But the most dangerous, strongest card the Dynamo had, Andrew, in this game, and I think you watched it, was him coming out of the back from the right side. He did bring the Dynamo width on a number of occasions. You want to counter that with width on the other side of the field. The problem is there, the left back position has not been solved. But for me, he's a starter now. When you get back in action against Portland, he's earned the starting job for me. That's just me. I'm not the coach. I'm not Ben Olsen. Ben has those calls, not me. But for topic of discussion, it's great. And what I loved about Griffin Dorsey is, one, they couldn't track him. Two, he would then cut inside and draw people. And three, the big piece here is that he was able to hit balls that kept this attack going, that led to real opportunity, which in past years, you got the grit, you got the determination, you got a guy who can run forever. I mean, he must have three lungs. And he can go box to box. But now he got a little more polish and a little more sophistication to his game. So something has gone on there. His delivery seems better. He set up in a prior game Aliou Ibrahim with a header, you know, with a little delicate cross. So there's some beautiful things going on there with him. So good for Griffin Dorsey. Good stuff. All right. So let's go to the horrific less than 1 minute that would cost the Dynamo. This comes, I think, in the 80th or 81st minute. It starts here. So the Dynamo holding on to a 1-0 lead. Patrick Adjiman comes on. He's out of the University of Rhode Island. He's a rookie. He's a big beast. He almost looks like a basketball player coming on. A long ball is hit towards him, and he's with Eric Sviatchenko. The ball's in the air. Eric has got to kind of turn a little bit because it's a good ball. It's made him turn. He's not really got a clean ability to attack it in the air. You're wondering if he should go in the air. Instead, he tries to, you know, use his body physically. This guy's a beast. And this guy gets around Eric, and inexplicably, Steve Clark is way off his line. And then after that, you know, the touch goes beyond Steve, and the empty net is hit. Here's what it sounded like.
Adjiman has gotten in. There's an empty net, and Adjiman is going to hit it. It is 1-1. It's as direct as it comes. And Christian Latanzio, the coach of Charlotte FC, looks like a genius. He just outmuscled the Dynamo center backs, and in he goes for his second goal in the League's Cup. It is now 1-1.
So off the kickoff, the ball goes back to the Dynamo center back, Mikael, who inexplicably, and by the way, he's had a good season. Okay, he solved the problem of teenage Adebi, the designated player who's out injured. This is a guy that's not on a big contract. He comes from Dynamo 2. He's an asset, and he deserves credit for what he's done. Now, this was as bizarre a goal as you'll ever see, because he gets the ball and just turns inexplicably and hits it back towards Clark, and hits it so hard it goes in.
And another bad back pass, and it goes in. Unbelievable here. The Dynamo have remarkably, in 35 seconds, gone down 2-1 to Charlotte here.
It's an absolute...
The horrors of all horrors here.
Didn't mean to cut off my partner, Andrew Driver, but both of us, you know, we were both stunned. I mean, we were caught off guard. We were both stunned. And it ends Charlotte 2-1. To me, that was a rough one because, you know, you have these moments to play Miami. And by the way, you're going to be in the last eight of a tournament that's 47 teams, the last eight. Now, granted, You didn't legitimately win a game in 90 minutes, but that's the tournament format. Now, let me give context here again. If, in fact, these were MLS games, out of 12 points, we would have collected two, which would put us in really serious trouble in getting a playoff spot. The playoff spot is the priority in MLS. It's not the Open Cup on the 23rd. That's a great thing. Want to see the Dynamo go as far as they can. But the beginning of getting back consistently into the playoffs, where 18 of 29 teams make it, this is what has to happen. So this was a tough one. The Dynamo are off for 4 days. That could be a good thing. Let them get rejuvenated. Here's Ben Olsen, soundbite number 4 on an uncharacteristic loss.
You know, we have the chance to, we have a few chances to put the game away, and we don't do it. And you know, then we kind of find a way to lose the game. Let's put it that way. And that's not like us, right? That hasn't been us this year. So, you know, we're disappointed. But our objectives of the season are still the same. And that's to make the postseason. And we have a semifinals of the Open Cup looming. So a lot to look forward to. The 4 days that we're going to step away from each other is very much needed. I think these guys have played every three games, and we look tired.
Fair enough. The only other game I think at home was the Minnesota game where the Dynamo got hit twice in the first 20 minutes. Now, that's the problem, too, because you don't have a lot of multi-goal scoring games at Houston Dynamo. If we want to talk data, and people love to talk data, we get into the final third. There's no denying that. We've seen that with the eye test. We knew that was going to happen with the team with Hector Herrera and Artur. Nobody's got to show me that. We see that game in and game out, pretty much. But that Minnesota game, you get hit twice. You got to come back and score goals. The Dynamo have only had 9 multi-goal games in all competitions. So, you know, you're playing slim margins here. And you're doing it with front runners that have a lot of talents, but none of them are historically big goal scorers. So you're going to have to squeeze goals out of people. That's the way it's got to work. And I think the other big piece you have to put a circle around is Hector Herrera. And making sure that he's managed. But I don't think this is a guy that wants to come off the full field. I've said that before on this show. He's like Wayne Rooney, right? There's stories about Rooney. Never could take him off the field. I mean, he'd lose it. Hector wants to be out there every minute. I can understand why. He's a 33-year-old player that wants to play, loves the game. But that's when you got to watch, because the Dynamo are a different team. With and without Hector. We've seen that pretty obviously. I wouldn't say it was a great game for Steve Clark. Something didn't seem right with him in that game. He seemed to be in a lot of, conversation with people a lot. He didn't seem right in that game. And by the way, he's a guy that earned you points in the beginning of the year. Boatload of points. So there you go. Olsen went on to say, Mieke Aiel, we're going to be fine. We're going to win together, lose together. You can't pin it on all that. I mean, things happen. Here's Griffin Dorsey. Let's get a little sound from Griffin on Mieke Aiel and supporting his teammate.
Let's just keep your head up. I mean, Mieke Aiel has been playing fantastic soccer, and he knows it. The coach knows it. The team knows it. And it's just about keeping that head up and keep moving on. Shit happens.
Yeah, so that coming from a guy who knows how to keep his head up, by the way. Again, I'm going to say it. Leagues Cup, that's a Dynamo MVP right there. That's a Dynamo MVP. This poor announcer for the Baltimore Orioles, I read this story. His name is Kevin Brown. Orioles say broadcaster Kevin Brown will return soon as the fans call out the team over reported suspension. Did any of the guys talk about that today? All this guy did was say facts, and he got suspended. It's so confusing to me.
Yeah, they've talked about it the last couple of days. It really started to gain steam earlier in the week, I would say around Tuesday. That's when the story started to really pick up pace. And he's supposed to be back on the Orioles broadcast tomorrow, But it's one of the strangest situations I've ever seen, Glenn, because he read out stuff that was legitimately in, like, the Orioles media, like, handbook for that day. Like, this wasn't stuff that, like, the team didn't authorize to be published. Like, this was stuff that Orioles media, from the top down, from the producers, everywhere else, they had all agreed that this was going to be part of their broadcast. They even had a graphic behind him for the segment that he did.
Yeah, I saw the graphic. I didn't understand this.
Yeah, and apparently the owner is so thin-skinned, because that's where the order came from, is from ownership, that that the broadcaster for the team mentioned their futility against the Tampa Bay Rays over the last decade or so. The owner was so thin-skinned that even any mention of that level of criticism, which isn't even criticism, it's just a stating of facts, was enough for him to suspend Kevin Brown indefinitely. And then obviously the backlash has led to him having that suspension ended and being brought back onto the broadcast tomorrow.
Well, I felt for him, and it was so confusing to me. By the way, it was fact.
Yeah.
He was stating facts, okay? Facts have to be used pro or con in order to set games up, right? If we talk about the Houston Dynamo, let's say, we talk about an incredible home record, right? Great home record. It's been a team that has reclaimed, you know, their home field advantage. The road is a different story. The road has been a different story. Do you pretend that doesn't exist? No, of course you don't. Because if you pretend it doesn't exist, you're then disrespecting your fans. So one thing I've always felt here, I can't say that everybody who talks on the radio, we don't get it right all the time. You don't have to agree, and you probably never should totally agree. But one thing I always told myself, I'm going to be honest to my audience and honest when I say something about the game. I'm not here to pull the wool over people's eyes. It's only my lens. Doesn't mean it's correct, and that's why people can always call in. But, I don't know who the owner is of the Baltimore Orioles is, but thin skin. It's a good way to put it. Get off of my cloud. Don't hang around to the ground. All right. Get off of my cloud, Baltimore Orioles owner. Get off it. All right, we're taking a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Hey, bevy of great guests coming up in the next hour. Eric Goodman, Austin Chronicle, Verde Report. We've got John Arnold talking Leagues Cup. Incredible. We're going to talk about Monterrey and Rayados and Tigres. And then we're going to finish it up with a local product now heading up the University of Houston women's soccer team, Jaime Frias.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
Mr. Campbell, send out the amendment is acceptable to the author. Is there objection to the opposite amendment? The chair has an amendment. Amendment is adopted.